Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For the record, this is the second meeting of the Port of Port Townsend, afternoon meeting at 5:30 on March 23rd. Yeah. All right. So approval of agenda.
We need to add an item to potential immediate action. And that's in regard to the application period for accepting candidate applications for the executive director position.
Okay. Any other changes to the agenda?
Nope.
We've got an executive session listed.
Yes, legal.
Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Move.
Second?
Yeah, second.
Second. All those in favor, say
aye.
Aye. Consent agenda, has everybody looked at the consent agenda?
Yeah.
Yep.
Motion to approve the consent agenda?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public comment not related to the agenda. Any public comments not related to items on the agenda? Bill?
District 2, an agenda item, except that I want to let everybody know that there's progress on moving the weather station transmitter to the airport. We just got back our FCC license modification, so that's the last roadblock. Get in touch with the PUD and start the ball rolling on that side, and then we're going to have to be able to buy parts, and we should be under soon.
Great.
Thanks, Bill.
Excellent. Any other comments not related to the agenda? Yes.
My name is Brenda McMillan.
If you could just come to the podium, then we'll be able to hear you. Thank you.
My name is Brenda McMillan. I live in Port Townsend. Mm-hmm. And I came down because you're going to be discussing the Navy's request to use your facilities. And I think that on principle, you should fight it.
Okay. Thank you. More people coming in here. So we're right on the part where we're taking public comment not related to the agenda. So any item that's not on the agenda, if you have a comment on that, you're welcome to come to the podium.
And the Navy is on the agenda.
Yeah, and the Navy is on the agenda.
Yeah.
But that's all right. Yeah, we got your comment. Anything else? Any other comments?
Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah,
Mark.
My name is Mark Landry, you know me, I work control number one. This is the report on notice. Going to read the last two paragraphs. The aforementioned lien, number 598005, is on file. Jefferson County Clerk's Office, Port Townsend, Washington. On such basis, said secure party must be given proper notice of any of all actions that your court may or may have or may yet to be proceeding to undertake with respect to said vote as pursuant of any order obtained by your court, without having first conducted a formal administrative hearing to determine the boat's said status as a derelict vessel to boot. We all know that was done illegally, improperly, just at the bias of Jim Kovarnik. Is that right, Jim? Just because you decided to do that. There's no procedure for that. My boat is not a derelict. According to state law, it's not a derelict. According to DNR, it's not a derelict. And I understand that your mandate, when you're asked a question, is to completely ignore the question here. And if you ignore the question, then basically my concern does not exist. It doesn't exist, and there isn't a concern, so then you can't address it. But it's here, in writing in front of you. Finally, please be further advised, thereby that in light of the above, any action taken for the purpose of the seizure of or demolition crush of said boat without proper notice to be to said secured party and without having conducted such type of fact-finding hearing will be undertaken by me to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Moreover, I will be proceeding to get an injunction and or cease and desist order to obtain to enjoin you from taking any further steps in either evicting said boat from space Y335 and or seizing said boat for purposes of its demolition. I heard today that there was an intent to remove the cover. Well, the cover is an engineered cover. That covers what's the 67 miles an hour sustained. Okay, there are weights at specific places. It's fastened down in a particular way that it doesn't blow away. That cover is designed to protect the boat and to protect everything else around it. There's nothing flying away from it. You've seen other covers get destroyed. That's private property. It doesn't need to be taken down. And that boat has been worked on, and it's to protect the work that's been done on that boat. You guys want to take the cover, you want to undo everything. You have proceeded thus far to act and to cause the Superior Court of the State of Washington, the County of Jefferson, to act on the basis of fraud and entirely without justifiable basis. Just because you went to court doesn't mean it was justifiable. I wasn't allowed to speak. And a $185,000 decision made on a couple of verbal, baseless, proofless, factless depositions.
So Mark, that's...
Specifically, I'm done.
Mark.
Specifically, for your failure, you have to follow the protocol and the deprivation of my right to procedural due process. You are responsible for actionable harm and damage. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you for your comments, Mark. Any other comments? All right, moving along. Second reading. This is, I bet, why most everybody is here. U.S. Navy right of entry agreement. Larry, I get to pass it off to you. Have a great time. You'll all get to have a comment, though.
You could add this to your question of interview for the new ED. Yeah.
Excuse me? I just want to say also that I filed actions against Mr. Provardic and Mr. Crockett, never served today.
The Navy and I have been in conversation back and forth over several days. And just so you're aware, all emails that we've received from the public, I forwarded those on to the point of contact with the Navy. And one of the emails that said, just want to give you a flavor of what my commissioners are receiving. And so they appreciated that. I asked a couple over three different times, and I talked to them this afternoon. I had some questions of my own, some of the questions that came up about the commission, etc. And I'll just read through some of my questions and their responses to give you a better idea. I asked, from my background, I understand the type of training and why it's necessary. But can you clarify that the proposed training will be from the water side or the land side or both? And what is the scale, number of people, type of equipment of the training? And they responded with that the training will be both from the water and the land. And it's because they have a trailered vessel, so they need the boat man. He was not sure of the exact number of trainees, but it's normally less than 12. But there'll also be a vehicle and safety observers on the land side, to make sure everything is taken care of. I then asked, what is the protocol for handling complaints from any neighbors? Matt's Ramp is in a residential community and homes are very nearby. Who would I refer a complaint to? And they gave me a name. Sheila Murray is our public affairs PAO, assigned for this training out of our region office, blah, blah, blah. And she is CC'd on the email and be a person to contact with complaints. And she would know, provide that information to me upon my request. What is, the Port Commission is considering the possible sale of this facility. If we approve the agreement, we would need to add words that essentially will void the right of entry should we surplus the facility with the intent to sell. And they pointed out, rightly so, that in that right of agreement, which you've all seen, there's already a right of, that there's a 30-day termination paragraph that can be enacted any time on our part, whether we're selling it or we're just not happy with the activity or whatever. So there's that. He also mentioned that they would be willing to do a one-year agreement rather than a five-year. So I told him I can't approve a five-year. 1 year is the most I can approve. So after that, a few days later, I sent some more questions. Because in the agreement, there is a clause, and it's kind of a standard agreement because they're looking at a number of sites that they either already have an agreement or in the future. Will there be any equipment stored or left at the MassMat site? Response, no. All gear and equipment will be removed from the site with no indication of presence. My next question, are the personnel involved in the training armed? If they are, I assume there is no ammunition. The right of entry says no ammunition or explosives will be expended, but will the training personnel have loaded magazines on the person? The magazine, of course, is what feeds the ammunition into a firearm. The answer is no. No live ammunition will be on site. The next one, I asked, would the access to the ramp be restricted to the general public during the exercise? Their answer is no. There will be little to no restriction to the ramp other than when divers are in the water near the ramp, in which our safety craft will be on station to provide safety to the divers and are identified with proper lights and dive flags, which you see at every dive site when there's divers down yourself. What is the duration of the typical training event? And they didn't quite get to my, what I was asking is when you're doing it, is it a 2 hour, 5 hours, all night? They responded, it's 2 to 3 nights annually. That's the frequency of training. That's not what I really asked. Then the next question was the frequency. Estimate the number of training events. They responded, one on average. However, the unlikely would be a maximum of 3 annually. Then, the last question, I said, has the Navy been using MassMat site for training in the past? The answer is yes. Both the public waterways have been used, and they're talking about all the way out into the bay, out into the Sound, have been used by the Navy for several years, always at night and with little or no interaction with the public. So, you have that information. And since I've been here, I've never received a complaint about their training at MassMat. We know they use this boat ramp, but I've never received any complaints for the use here either. I talked to the point of contact this afternoon, after you and I talked, and explained, you know, the sensitivity that we have a lot of citizens that are concerned. You know, it's kind of everything being wrapped into one thing. You know, we got the Navy station would be, you know, flying their growlers over the Olympic Peninsula doing the radio exercises and everything. They have this broader training package that the Navy's trying to put together for the entire Puget Sound. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. And we're talking about this one boat ramp in Jefferson County. And he again reiterated that a one-year agreement would be fine, and I sent him an email back saying, if you've been using it for all these years, why are you now coming, you know, wanting a formal right of entry agreement? And they're saying, just to be upfront, that, you know, they're doing this around Puget Sound, sites that they've been using, they just want to formalize it, be above board, let everybody know that they're doing that. And they offered that they would call me directly prior to any training event, you know, that one or two or three times a year to let me know that, hey, tomorrow night we're going to, you know, use mass bats or whatever. So that's about all I know. And I was thinking, since they've been using it without any incident, and they're willing to do a 1 year, if you want, you could kick it back to me. Maybe we just do a test. Say, look, at okay for 2016. It's actually at the end of the window. They don't want to do this in the summertime. They want to do it during cold weather. That's part of the training. And see how it goes, and then go from there. That might be an option. Or you can just say, no, we don't want to do the right of entry, in which case it's still a public ramp, and from a legal perspective, we can't stop them. And they'll just do the training that they've been doing the last 2 or 3 years. That's kind of the option.
So let's, anybody want to make a question or a comment in the public related to this? Fort Ludlow? The
mass boat ramp. Yeah. My name is Doug Campbell, and my question would be, I was born and raised in Washington State, grew up in Puget Sound, and the military has expanded since I was born, in both at least. And I can't believe that the Navy needs to use a facility like this when they have Indian Island City. They have Naval Base Bremerton, they have Bangor, they have facilities all over the place. And why Nats Bay needs to be used, or any public facility as far as that goes. And so I can't imagine concerning offering that to them. So I'm a no-go.
Yeah, let's just clarify here so everybody understands. It isn't really whether it's a no or a yes. They are already using it. They've already been there. The agreement we're talking about is in many ways superfluous. I mean, even, you know, okay, so there's a 30-day cancellation to this agreement. Well, what does that mean? Because if we say, oh, we want to cancel it, it's still a public ramp. They can still use the ramp whenever they want to. So, and the other thing I would, and we'll take more comment here, but the other thing I would say too is, you know, this is a Jefferson County issue as much as it's a port issue. Yes, we own the ramp, or we're responsible for the ramp. It is a public access though, but we all live in Jefferson County. So we can also comment to Jefferson County, and you know, they can be hearing these comments just as much as the Port of Port Townsend commissioners can as well. So we'll take more comments. If anybody else wants to comment on this. Yeah, Pete. What should we do, Pete?
Nice to see you guys again. Just so a lot of people maybe not be aware of what strategically Port Townsend means to a lot of different things. Commercial traffic, Port Townsend Bay is the holding area for all emergency traffic, for all commercial traffic in Puget Sound. The only other port is Port Angeles. So any Lahar, any major disaster, we're going to see every cruise ship, every commercial traffic entry out here in our bay. It's going to be our responsibility to take care of all the passenger citizens, whether it's EMS, whatever it is. Same with military. The island over there doesn't do humanitarian aid. It's not up to us to decide what. Right here, we're going to say, yes, we don't appreciate this without notifying us of what goes on in our bay. But when it comes to protecting that island, I think in the case of Cascadia fall, any major disaster is going to do that. The Navy is preempting and researching how they are going to protect that asset, whether it's from us civilians or for their use, because they're going to bring in ships or they're going to bring in helicopters and move the materials. They need to do what they're going to do. So I think it's a bigger picture. We've got to go out and express if the community doesn't want Indian Island here anymore. We need to tell the Navy that, but the likelihood of it changing is probably not. So we need to defend our community in some way that says we're rationally going to deal with what we have sitting in our backyard. And that means they have been here. I've been here at 2:30 at night, this boat launching ramp with armed guards, with a submarine being hauled out that was top secret. There's only two of them in the country. I know that because I was in the fire department rescue. We were doing a rescue in the middle of the night and happened to come across them in the middle of the night doing their operations. They've been here doing it, and they were. I was
Thanks, Pete.
It is a scary thing to see, but we gotta look at the reality.
And so what's your recommendation, Pete? Is that yay or nay?
My recommendation is I would say we should say, no, please don't use it. But the reality of it is they're gonna swim in underneath, they're gonna map that thing, they're gonna know what's there, and they're gonna do it. But if the citizens want to say no,
yeah, no. Exactly. Well said. Anybody else?
It's the trainees that aren't carrying a lot of ammunition.
Right. Hi.
Hi, my name is Anna. Thank you. I'm really concerned with the lack of public process here. It's very disingenuous for the media to say that voting the people on the board, it's a vote of who. And I think given your issues, that it is your obligation to resist this sort of encroachment into our public areas.
Can you speak up a bit? I can't hear you.
The order of business is to serve the citizens of Port Townsend and Jefferson County. I did write the commissioners of the of Jefferson County commissioners as well as the folks. I would just like to go on the record saying they have not gone through the proper procedures to engage in these actions, and they are using real arguments, even though they're using paintball. Encourage an accident, someone's armed on your boat from your backyard. And I've tried calling those complaint lines that you mentioned in the very end of the week, and I know what happens when you call those, the graveyard phone lines. I think that they should be allowed to say no.
Okay, so decisions-wise, do we want to pass this off to Larry? I'm kind of inclined to say, you know, let's. I don't know what to do because I'm not in favor of it yet. I know legally we can't. There's nothing we can do to say no. And did you want to make a comment?
No, George told me not.
No, in the back. No, in the back. Come on up if you want to make a comment. Yeah, I don't want to.
Sorry, too late.
No, all right, too late tomorrow. I don't think it matters at this point whether or not you think you actually have any power over this. What I think is exceedingly important is that citizens stand up and take a very clear stand about just how much military is going to invade our domestic lives. We already know what it's doing internationally, and it's not looking good. Furthermore, we've already paid taxes at the federal level for all of this. For our taxes here that you guys are spending, it's just another dip for them. It's the wrong thing to be doing. We have a right to have a peaceful, non-militarized life. And I know that's not realistic, but you have to go on the record saying that's how it is.
Appreciate your comment.
My name is Rick Doherty. I've lived here 4 years. I've lived in many places around the world. Port Townsend, I thought, was a haven to be away from the kind of congestion stress there is in Seattle and the kind of mobilization there is in many areas of the country. I live in North Beach, and quite honestly, some days it's like a war zone. Anywhere from 8 to 15 flights that are very, these are not miles, really here, inside my house. And it's really very appealing. We have some of the best heritage sites in the world, and for some reason they feel they need to go into those rather than finding some of the locations that they've already been using in the past. And I think their arguments really are not very good for using this peninsula and invading where they are. And if they have a legal right, I wasn't here at the last meeting, but I can understand the right of an individual has a legal right. But a militarized organization has the right to come into any area that's public.
Probably so.
So they can come into the park then. It's their right to do it.
Yeah.
it is, we ought to have a redundant.
That's right.
Because that's just not right.
Yeah, they're, aren't they using parks?
They are.
They already are.
So they say they're not, but they're flying over the park. They're using the National Forest, if I understand it correctly.
I mean, local parks. They're using local parks for staging areas.
I've seen them in Mystery Bay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Appreciate your comment.
You know, a lot of people don't know about this meeting and what's going on. I didn't know about it until a couple of days ago. So, anyway, there's a lot of public sentiment against it.
Anybody else? We're still on the subject. Bill?
Okay. Bill Bunny, I am former military, I suppose, under duress during the Vietnam era. But nonetheless, you know, I understand people not wanting to see people, armed people on the streets of Fort Townsend. I think that's unlikely. And if there's a substantive, established reason for the military not to be using a public facility, you know, if they're going to be, you know, setting off explosives in the middle of the night in their residential area, that's not a good thing. If they're going to be, even the chance that they're going to be firing weapons and, you know, in residential areas, that's not a good thing. But in the, you know, to try and exclude the military's use of a public facility because we don't like uniforms, we don't like military, we don't like, you know, those people in our neighborhoods, I think there's just no way to support that. We have a situation here. You live on an island out here. If you take away the Hood Canal Bridge and you have a landslide on Highway 101, you've got to be really happy that the military knows where the airport is and knows what the shipping lanes are like out here, because it's going to be the only thing that's going to stand between, you know, 28,000 people starving and not. You know, I've seen situations where communities just poke the military in their eye just because they can or will. If there's a substantive cogent reason to deny them access, that's grounds to do it. But just on whim or because you don't like the military, I think is just a bad policy. Bad policy for a community, and especially this community, that if anything happens of any substance, the military is the people that are going to pull our ships out of the fire. It's not going to be FEMA. It's not going to be, you know, guys from Seattle in skiffs. It's going to be the military. So, you know, cut them some slack.
Thanks, Bill. Quick one.
Only because he started it. I agree with him completely. I mean, they've been doing this for years and we have no idea, because the whole point is for people not to know that they're doing this. And they're not armed. And we need to protect the country. My only answer is, you know, vote Democratic and let's see if we can reduce the military. Thank you.
It's George, you want to say that?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't want to be Trump.
Get your name for the record.
I'm sorry, Lloyd Bray.
I'm Lawrence Berger.
What was your name again?
Lawrence Berger.
Thank you.
Couple of things. One of them is 60 years ago, I was halfway through a four-year issue Marine Corps. And I understand that military training actually saves lives. So I'd like to have a perspective here that training is important in the first place. Second thing is, so eager to restrict the use of military for of our facility or public facilities, in this instance, we should be consistent. In June, there is Cascadia Rising. Are you familiar with that? That's going to involve Army, Navy, National Guard, Coast Guard. It's going to involve quite a lot of use of our public properties. Are we going to ask them or forbid them to do that? The whole idea of that is how they can help us should a catastrophic emergency occur. And I think that if we do it in one case, they're working to help us in one case, we should be willing to help them in the other direction. Simple as that.
Excellent. Appreciate your comments, Lawrence.
And on that, we'll be on the 1st of April on Hamlin, and it's, every other month they do a JPREP, emergency management. I think this one's going to be focused on that exercise. The last I heard, there'll be 6 large naval vessels anchored out in the bay. It'll be difficult to go boating because there's going to be exclusion zones around those vessels. And between 800 and 1,000 soldiers are coming to town. They're going to be based over at Indian Island primarily, but and this is all to practice the response to the Juan de Fuca plate slipping causing the big earthquake with the following tsunami, and how they're going to practice for that. So we'll have more information for you.
Yeah. So anyway, having heard, is there any more testimony before I start talking? You're up. I'm up. Okay. I was going to mention just what they said. I went to the last weekend's emergency preparedness meeting and heard them talking about that. And it kind of reminds me of the coal trains, you know. The coal trains were awful, but it wasn't the trains, it was the coal. It was the cargo. If those were grain trains, they'd be wonderful. And so here we have a government agency wanting to use our facilities and for training. And I was out here just last weekend and I watched the fire department. There was a lot of fire cars out here and divers and people with ambulances, and they were practicing utilizing the boat ramp, practicing emergency stuff. They had the boat ramp all taken up, and you can, and you don't hear anybody complaining about that because they're our friends, you know, they're our fire department guys that are helping us out. And the Cascadia Rising, that's all to help us out. And when you stop and think about it, that's what the Navy is doing too. So I kind of think it's just like Bill said, unless we have some cogent reason that they're going to screw things up and goof up our boat ramps, I can't really see any reason to exclude them from something that is a public amenity. I mean, when we took the money from the government to build this thing, we had to say that we have, anyone can use it on a free and equal basis. And they've been doing it for years, and I've run into them a couple of times on 2 different occasions, and just like Larry said, they've never given any trouble. The only trouble they gave me, they scared me when some great big young fellow came over and grabbed me when I was taking pictures of their license plates and asked me what I was doing, and I wanted to make sure they were paying their launch tab, which they did pay, by the way. So I really think that what Larry suggested is a good option. Basically, let them have it for a year, and we'll give them the authorization, and then what we'll get in return is an acknowledgement ahead of time when they're planning on coming to using it, and we can see how it's going to work.
And that's what they told me today. They said they would ensure that I received a direct phone call prior to use.
Which is nice of them.
Which they haven't done in the past, so at least. And that would be, it'd give me the ability to deconflict if there was something going on, saying, hey, you know, that's the opening day of crabbing. There could be a lot of people pre-staging their boats down there, that sort of thing. You know, but I was down in Hadlock, the QFC, a week ago Saturday, 2 Saturdays ago. And a gentleman, who I still don't know his name, came up to me and he said, you're Mr. Crockett, aren't you? And I said, yes, sir. And it was in the vegetable section there, so he had my celery for my soup. And he said, about this Navy, he had read the article in the newspaper. He said, about this Navy thing, you know, they've been using that for years. I've seen them down there all the time. That's why I asked that question the next day, or on Monday, to the Navy, saying, hey. But there was a QFC worker, this lady stacking the potatoes there, and she said, you talking about the Navy at Mats? And I said, yes. And I appreciate everybody's concern, but she said we should be proud that they want to use our ramp. So you got 30,000 citizens out there, so. If you turn it back to me, I'm going to approve it for a year with the assurance that they do call, either me or my.
And we have a 30-day cancellation.
And they said that if there's anything wrong, then they'll go away.
Because if we do nothing, then they'll probably just continue to use it because they have the right to, and only one won't know when they're going to come out and use it. We won't have
We don't have the capacity exclude them anyway. So at least with this agreement, then we're at least going to have some notification process.
Well, and not to be too capitalistic here, there might be some money in this for us.
Yeah, you made that comment. Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody, there you go. Sell
out. Right, taking money from the dark side.
If I can improve the port infrastructure, I'll do it in a heartbeat. But it gets back to the fact that we've taken grant money for a lot of our infrastructure. And some of that's federal, some of it's state. And we have to guarantee that it's open to the public. And if we want to go back for more grant money, I'm not talking about they're going to give me $1,000 every time they use it or something, but it makes it a lot easier to go back to the trough to get grant money to repair these facilities in the future if we can say that it's being used properly by all parties. So, and I know that won't sell to a lot of citizens, and that's too bad, but that's the reality of living in this world.
So moving on, we don't have to vote on this if we're passing this off to you for a year. Are you comfortable with that, Brad? You're comfortable with that, Steve?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So that's what we're doing. No vote.
Very comfortable.
I'll take the heat.
Moving on, the next item is nothing on the first reading. We're going to go to a potential immediate action item.
And we've got a couple items.
And we have a couple items on this. So I will move that we go ahead and go into unanimous vote on these items. We have to discuss them and vote on them, but we need to be able to go into that. Do I have a second?
I second that.
Are we in agreement? All say
yeah.
Aye? Okay. So the first one is Resolution 644-16, Legal Defense and Indemnification.
As you heard earlier tonight, that a couple of us were served a summons in relation to an ongoing legal action. Legal counsel is aware of everything and has the paperwork. But because individual employees of the port have been named, RCW 53.08.208 authorizes the port to defend and indemnify individuals, including, in fact, there was a threat of an email a week or two ago saying that a couple of commissioners would be getting served as well, along with the newspaper and other folks. But anyway, under this RCW, the commission can approve for the attorney to go ahead and expend time and effort in the legal defense of as well as the port, as an entity, but the individual. So, Eric, you want to develop that?
Yeah, just a little bit. There's statutory authorization under two statutes, both the one cited by Larry, 5308208, as well as RCW 4.96.041. And these statutes, in essence, permit a local government to authorize the defense and indemnification of an officer or an employee that has is the subject of litigation due to activities undertaken in good faith within the scope of their employment.
When they say officer, they're talking about commissioners.
So this would not cover bad faith acts or acts kind of, you know, outside employment. This is strictly for litigation that would arise out of performance of one's duties on the job in the instance when not only the local government, in this case the port, is named as a defendant, but also an employee or officer is named individually, individual rather than their official government capacity. And that's the situation that has occurred here recently. And so the resolution before you just makes it really clear that the commission is aware of this statutory authorization and authorizes defense and indemnification of officers and employees, not agents, I would point out, though. They're specifically excluded. So anyone, for instance, say an independent contractor that is working on behalf of the port would not fall within the scope.
Like Kevin Ellis.
Right. Yeah. So however, it does require, the way the resolution is crafted, that each time a situation arises, that the employee make or officer make specific requests to the commission, and that be approved by the commission. Basically, that you conclude that it was within the scope of employment and in good faith. So you have before you essentially two items, but we're dealing at the moment just with the resolution of general applicability.
So do we have two votes on this then?
You have a vote on the resolution itself,
right?
And then one on the separate request for defense and indemnification under the authority of the just passed resolution.
So I make a motion that we approve resolution number 64416.
I'll second.
So this will cover the two summons that...
The ones that I received this afternoon.
And if more summons come against the commissioners
ongoing.
We'll have to do this again.
Yeah. Again, this is just the resolution. Then we have a separate agenda item for the...
scope of employment. Individuals. But it will cover what because it's really a continuation of the previous lawsuit.
But I'm making, so we're voting on one and then I'm voting on the second one.
We're voting on the resolution.
Right.
First.
Irrespective of employees and officers at the moment, the resolution.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, so item B, part 7, legal defense and indemnification request.
So B is the request for authorization for defense and indemnification under this resolution that you've just passed. In this case, a specific request by Deputy Director Pavarnik for defense and indemnification.
I got served, but as the Port of Port Townsend.
Oh, you were.
Since I'm the CEO, if you will, of the port.
So Mr. Black is the one.
I think, my name is mentioned not in the defendant thing, but as, the Port of Port Townsend at the end of it.
Any discussion while they're working on paperwork? We're good?
Yeah. Good.
Good. I'm angry. Go ahead.
We approve that B. Resolution B.
Seconding.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Part C, immediate actions related to next Wednesday, authorizing Executive Director Larry Crockett to, if we don't have enough applications in, we are going to extend the application period.
Right. We so far have three complete applications in for executive director position. When I say complete, we're very specific. It had to be a cover letter, a resume. They had to answer certain written questions and fill out the standard government application form. And we've gotten three that did not do that. They're just electronic broadcast emails. so those don't count, but we have gotten three complete packets through the mail. But the comfort level I'm sensing from the commission is you want a few more than that. And the fear is that the closing is end of the business day on the 1st of April, which is a week from Friday. And if we want to set a limit that if we don't have more than X number, then give me the authority to extend, you know, the application period another 2 weeks.
So why do we have to figure out X number?
Okay.
What's X number?
Five total?
Five completed non-robot ones.
Yeah, fully responsive.
Right, okay.
So it's five or more.
Fully responsive.
Yeah, we cut it at 1 April.
Yep.
But if by midweek next week, we're still sitting at three or just four, we'll extend to 2 weeks.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. I make that motion.
I second that motion.
Do you have enough on that, Sue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Staff comments.
Oh, we still have.
Oh, we got other business. Sorry.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Oh my God.
We actually have
like 20 more minutes here now.
Well, we got two things on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just wanted to brief you on the boatyard general permit. I've already informed you before that DOE, this is the renewal year. This is the statewide boat general permit that all boat yards operate under, both public and private. And we just got notified, we're expecting it, notified on the 16th that DOE has released it, the draft. Copies were put in your boxes. And their public comment period is now open until April 29th. I've got a meeting coming up on. There's already a lot of phone calls and back channel emails between boatyards and WPPA.
So this is a draft?
This is a draft.
It's a draft.
It doesn't say draft on it anywhere.
It should say effective date 2 July or something like that. Or.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's a draft. That just means it's not effective till then.
Yeah. It's the draft. Take my word on. On April 6th, NMTA, which we're a member of, they represent all the boatyards, both private and public. They're going to have a meeting of, you know, all the boatyards to see what concerns anybody has with it. Generally, we're okay with it as it's written. We lobbied hard the last couple of years with DOE to have them leave the benchmarks alone for copper and zinc, et cetera, to allow the industry time to catch up, both technologically, but also money-wise. You know, these investments to clean up stormwater are huge. And a lot of times, by the time you get the technology, whether it's, you know, the RX system like we have or whatever, it takes a year or two to get that stuff installed and working. So we're okay with that. The only change was in the lead limit. They reduced it by 50%. But all the boatyards are okay on lead. That's not one of our problems with, it is for other industries, but for not for boatyards, so we're okay with that. The only other danger that could happen is that the last time they did this 5 years ago, DOB was sued by Puget Sound Keepers Alliance, saying that the benchmarks weren't strict enough. And that took a while to hash out, and DOE has not heard from any such group this time. So we're hoping we'll get through the 29th without that. So I'll know more after the 6th. Al's reviewing it, I'm reviewing it. If you guys have any thoughts or questions, we'll take down those. I'll take them to the meeting on the 6th. There's also a public workshop. They call it a listening session at DOE on the 20th of April. I may go down to that, depending on what the scuttlebutt is going back and forth between both yards at that point.
Al will go down too?
He sort of, well, they got one in Everett. I think Al was looking to go on the one in Everett. There's two of them.
You going to go?
I might.
Yeah.
There's one, I forget the Everett date.
Depends on how.
Yeah.
Have you looked, perused through this?
I read it.
Yeah, I did too.
From the back.
It's interesting. Spooky.
And once it's reissued, it'd be good for 5 years, and 5 years from now, we'll go through the process again, so. The only other thing, and this will be on our next workshop, is we were visited by DOE a week or so ago, and because we're still missing the mark on many of our water samples, they're expecting to issue a, what they call administrative order under the new permit. The old permit didn't authorize, once you've gone into level three and done your engineer report, that was kind of the last page of the permit. There was nothing after that. Now they, DOE will be allowed under this permit to essentially have you do that again. You know, you've done certain steps, they're not working quite right. Go hire an engineer, develop some more steps that'll help meet those benchmarks, send it to DOE for their approval. So we'll bring you up to speed on all that, and that'll be one of the main topics for the April workshop.
So you haven't received the administrative order yet?
No, I don't expect it until the summer. And we don't know what that's actually going to say. And they said that once they issue it, there's new ground for them too, that we can probably go back and forth, you know. You got to give you time to get an engineer on board and allow the engineer to scope it and send their report down. We're talking a multi-year process. And they are aware about our feasibility study or RFQ, which should be out next week. To look at the possibility of either rain gardens or detention ponds, you know, some combination, size to be determined, cost to be estimated. You know, for capturing all the stormwater and not releasing anything to the bay. And ultimately, that's the solution to keep this boatyard alive into the future decades. Mm-hmm. By not releasing any stormwater to the bay, you suddenly do away with all those onerous copper and zinc benchmarks. So that's about it on that one.
Workshop and meeting, April 13th.
Need to move it. We're proposing move it up to the 11th. We've got multiple commissioners missing in action that week, but the Monday the 11th seems like we're all here.
So we'll actually do a
workshop in the morning.
Workshop in the morning. Like this Monday the 11th will be just like a regular port day. Except it won't be Wednesday, so we'll do a workshop in the morning.
Yeah, except we did talk.
We're going to do an extra long workshop.
An extra long one, because you wanted to do some more work on the executive director questions and everything. Yeah, you know, we could do the stormwater thing. I was thinking maybe 8:30.
Okay.
To 11:30.
Okay. You'll be here, George?
I know it's kind of late, but.
I have a conflicting meeting, but this takes precedence. Yeah.
We'll probably be here the whole morning, so anytime you can make it, just
yeah. We could do the stormwater thing. We could do the stormwater topic first at 8:30. Get that done. And go into the. I imagine it'll be an executive workshop for the ED, you know, stuff.
It's good by me.
Yeah, fine.
And we'll notify our newspapers, you know, appropriately for the change of date.
Staff comments.
Anything, Pat?
Yeah.
Happy to.
We've got the fiber optics at Point Hudson they're still working on. CenturyLink is now doing testing with the ESD who does our IT work. So we're hoping that'll be up and running soon so that we can be connected to Point Hudson and have data quickly. And then hoping to have the February financial reports due on Friday.
Sue?
No.
How are your records requests coming?
We're all good.
Yeah. Caught up for today. Yeah.
Caught up for now.
Tomorrow's a new day.
Eric? Just briefly, we met with David Goldsmith on Friday last week, and discussed, again, kind of the outcome of the retreat and the major takeaways, and asked that he prepare a brief summary of the meeting, as well as his recommendations for how best to proceed, understanding that the board is in transition and in the process of searching for a new executive director. So I think he's operating under the assumption that some of his recommendations will be at least put in suspended animation until the new board is on board. I wanted to make sure that you had that and had an opportunity to review it.
I thought Ron Haynes made a really good point that, you know, I was thinking of this when we went through these three retreats. They were very productive. And I think we've, you know, kind of blown a lot of stuff out on paper, and particularly for the strategic plan to have it concise, Ron was saying, you know, have even a one-page sheet of this is what we see as our major priorities and how we're moving forward. You didn't hear that comment, but it was a good one. And I thought for somebody coming into the room to have that piece of paper in their hand so they know what the ground game is. And, you know, it's the point was the direction was more it's coming from us rather than we're waiting for him to bring him or her to bring it to us. And so I appreciate that you guys are on that very much.
That really would help the new executive director, you know, kind of, you know, year one, here are the five things you need to be working on. You know, the big things, you know, all the day-to-day stuff's gonna have to do that anyway, but
you know.
Yeah.
I agree with what Ron said too. It was about 4 years ago or 3 years ago, I actually sat down and did exactly that. I digested the seven elements and I have it on one page.
Yeah.
And I refer to it quite regularly.
So. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. Publish that, would you?
Jim?
I just want to thank the commission for agreeing to identify me.
It's a close vote.
Just two things. NODC meeting tomorrow over in Squim this time. It'll be a real meeting, not the one that they did before over in Fort Warden. And on Monday, I'll be over in Seattle with the FAA. It's their annual conference. And sitting down with make sure we still have our $3 million. We'll be talking the runway redo, et cetera, plus any changes to the future grant cycle and all the normal things that the FAA comes up with. And I'll give you a briefing when we get back.
Any chance they move that to the breakwater? No.
Although, glad you brought that up. I had a meeting today with the new head staffer for Patty Murray's. Senator Murray's office, and she specifically asked, you know, okay, what federal monies are you going after? So I briefed her on the airport, how we're going to try to get the runway redone here in about 2 years, and that it's looking good, but that money needs to be protected through the FAA system so that we have it. And then I told her about the breakwater project and how we applied for federal dollars under the floating infrastructure grant and got awarded the $1.1 million, but we've been invited to submit again for an additional $600,000. And she said she'll be looking for it at the other end of the pipe.
Excellent.
You know, once the application goes through the federal Fish and Wildlife Department, they're the agency that does that. So it's good to know that we've got, you know, a congressional office in Washington, D.C., kind of, you know, okay, where is it? You know, I know they mailed it last week from Port Townsend.
Really?
You know, she was very adamant that she's here to help us on that.
Okay.
And then I brought up the light industrial park. I said, you know, we did get some federal money to do a feasibility study some years ago through the EDA, the Economic Development Authority, which is a federal body. And I said, you know, like to get a couple of million more to do all the basic infrastructure and explain to what we're doing out there and the roads and the fire flow and the power and all that. And I said, sure, it'd be nice, but it wasn't 100% match. And so she took that down and we'll see. So.
Now she just new on the job?
Pretty new, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's going around visiting all the port districts. You know,
full spit of vinegar on that.
And I gave her card to Eric. So she said, call her the slightest hiccup in the grant process, give her a call.
So. So apparently I'll be calling her tomorrow morning.
Yeah. That's it.
Commission comments, or public comments, not related to the agenda. More public comments. Anybody? Okay, commission comments.
Okay. Any updates on the stormwater lift station, pump station? What's going on with that?
Where are we on that?
We haven't went out yet. Harold has done the conceptual drawings. We have them for a few more months. We haven't went out to bid yet.
Okay.
Larry obviously has been working with Harold the size of property.
And we wanted to make sure with us doing this feasibility study on the detention ponds and rain gardens, because we're so flat here and we're so, you know, water table so high, you know, the whole stormwater system was engineered, even though it's shallow, it's still, the pipes are all flowing
gravity
towards the outfall through gravity. And if we end up doing a big detention pond, say over along Sims Way, well, we could get the water to flow uphill now. So it'd be good if the lift station, that whole pump system, can be somehow reused and incorporated into that to help part of that system. So
they were talking about this when you were doing this, right, George?
Mm-hmm. Nothing. That's why one gentleman, he had some good thoughts, but boy, the history to every one of those things he brought up about you can't put a boat, launch a boat at Point Hudson, well, you used to.
Yeah.
But when we redid the marina,
yeah,
the feds made us pull the ramp out as part of the mitigation, you know. So it's,
okay. So in other words, then, the new bioremediation plan is being taken into account in regard to this pump station, right? So in other words, my concern is this lift station isn't going to just be an expenditure that's going to
albatross.
Done.
We don't want to abandon it.
Right.
You know? No, but at the same time, maybe it could be accommodated, the design to upgrade later as needed, because there is an immediate need, is my understanding, from the saltwater intrusion is really causing us havoc with our filtration system. Mm-hmm. So that's an immediate issue, aside from the long-term plan, hopefully, that's going to, you know, end stormwater going to the bay, period.
I would think, the lift station is essentially a pump system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if we have to relocate it, we've got the pump. You know?
I think we're going to be looking to repurpose quite a bit of infrastructure that we've deployed over the past several years and reuse it. So this is really no different. I think there's a short-term, you know, exigency that we really need to move forward with this, but the expectation is that we'll be able to repurpose this.
So a quick story. Catherine Gale wrote some interesting emails, and she's been, you know, talking about the issue of the stormwater and how
Karen Gale,
I'm sorry, and how, you know, it can become a community event that we need to construct these garden, rain gardens and the retention ponds, and it doesn't have to be just the port trying to figure out how to do this. And I was thinking about that, and I'm reading a book about the history of Boeing. And so Boeing shows up at Payne Field, and they want to build the largest building in the world. And they want to do it in a year. And George, you probably can relate to all of this. Not only did they build the largest building in a year, and they did it in a year, they moved more dirt to accommodate that building site than move for the entire Panama Canal and Grand Coulee Dam combined.
Wow.
And they did that in months in order to get that building up in 1 year so they could build 747 with it inside of it. So anything's possible. When you get everybody moving in the right direction, you can get a lot done.
The Pentagon, the world's largest office building, built in less than 18 months under budget.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, given the permit system we have today, I don't know.
I did want to report that today I received the city permit for the stairs from sail off, which took 3.5 months.
There you go.
For the stairway.
For the fire escape.
Yeah. So how did you get so many permits done so quick so they could move that much dirt?
I can't recall.
I didn't apply for it.
I was just one of the negotiators. I wasn't on the engineering team.
Pretty,
George has no clear recollection.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing statistic.
That's the expression, George. I have no clear recollection.
So we will meet again at the workshop at 8:30 and the
11th.
On the 11th, and then of April, and the main meeting will be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
And we're going to executive session on legal matters.
And we're going to go into executive session on legal matters. So I don't even need to bang the camera.
There shouldn't be any decisions.
And no decisions on the executive session.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Half an hour. Half hour. All right. So just enjoy yourself. And we will terminate, close that meeting at 7:00.
No.
No. No action. Thank you all for coming. Appreciate your comments. Yeah.